Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and today I am joined by the illustrious, amazing, fantastic duo. Hopefully, we've got James Huller on, and hopefully, we're going to be joined by Josh. But for right now, it's James, the incredible race director of the world's best long distance race, the Swami Shuffle 200. James, ready to go for a run?
Oh, always ready for a run, brother. Always ready for a run.
I know you are. Well, the 2025 Swami Shuffle 200 did not disappoint, did it?
No, it did not, dude. We had the most finishers we've had. We had the fastest time we've ever had. And we had the longest time we've ever had.
Yes. Yeah.
And we also had the most beautiful weather we've ever had.
Oh, the weather was to die for, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
One
unfair.
rainstorm. One.
One, and it happened at a time that almost everybody got out of the rain, but everybody had the option to get out of it. Just two knuckleheads decided they were going to keep pushing, and I guess they got under some. They didn't get a hotel room. They got under some cover, but they stayed out. But yeah,
Yep.
it was.
Was that Joel and Keith?
No, they stayed at the Comfort Inn.
Oh, okay.
Kim and David.
Oh, that's right,
Kim and
because
David,
they were
and I think
pushing.
they stopped at the Food Lion to wait out the worst of it.
Okay, that's crazy. Those two are nuts anyway. Amazing finish by Thomas DiStefano this year, wasn't it?
53 hours.
Dude.
53 hours. Basically, I'm going to call it 53 flat. I mean, that's not the official time. It's 53
Yeah.
one. 53 hours. To cover 220 plus miles, dude. It was every time I saw him, he was chugging like I. It, he was, he it was outrunning some of his pacers. Like,
Yeah, he dropped like a couple of pacers, just
yeah,
couldn't
I
keep
met him
up
on
with him.
island. He was coming at me, and we pulled off, and he was probably 15 or 20 yards away. He's like, "You got any water? I'm out of water. I'm out of water." He's like, "Yeah, we got some. I'll meet you back up the road." So I just hit it in reverse and backed up so he didn't have to slow down. We had him some water and he kept going. And then there was a dude behind him, like, man, there's no way Tyler's that close based
Right.
on where he asked. And it was his, I forget his pacer's name, but it was his pacer. He's like, dude, I can't keep up.
Yeah,
He's
that
just,
was I
he
think that
was,
was Shane that time too.
yeah, he did an amazing, amazing. I mean, there's a, everybody did amazing, but man, that's just, that's an unworldly pace that he maintained. And if I heard him right at the end, he's already planning to beat that next year.
Oh, dude, I talked to him the other day. He goes, I've already gone through all my statistics, all my data and everything. I can shave 4 more hours off.
Dude, 4 hours would be crazy.
Can you imagine sub 50?
That's a
For
49.
220 miles?
That's crazy, dude. That's world class.
Dude, do the math on that. That's 4.5 miles an hour over 220 miles.
I think the math I did, and again, I don't like the math in public, especially out alongside the road. But I think at the end of the race, when I punched in the numbers, I think he averaged a 14-minute pace for the entire duration. You know, that so that includes your stops, your food, your rehydrating. I think he said 4-ish hours of sleep, and I think the math worked out to like right at 14-minute per mile pace for the duration. That's insane. Insane.
So yeah, now we got to see if we can get Aaron Isles back.
I would love to get Aaron. Tyler was doing a lot of talking. I think Tyler's got it in him to challenge that time.
Yep.
Tyler's problem is he has to figure out the difference between a 100 and a 200 and how
Yeah.
to take the breaks, allow himself to take the break to get there. So he said he'll be back next year, and his goal is to challenge Thomas. He's just got to figure out the break piece of it.
Yep, and I know Lisa's coming back, and I'm sure Michelle Gray's coming back.
Michelle said she'd be there.
I think Katie wants to come back too. She thinks she can do a lot better.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she can. I'm sure she could.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Scott Raddick told me at the end of it, he already hasn't figured out how he can beat Thomas's 53 hours.
Yep.
I'd love to see that. I mean, that guy was amazing. I thought he was checked out, and Josh and I told him as he finished, come across the finish line, we thought he was done. Like he was going to
Yep.
drop. Based on what I saw at Liberty at the Liberty gas station going south, I thought he was checked out mentally, but that guy just kept plugging, man. He is
Yeah.
he just kept plugging and plugging and plugging, and he finally made it back. I was like, damn, dude. I mean, but he said he knows what he did wrong, and he thinks he can challenge next year.
Yeah. I had a conversation with Scott in between Salvo and Avon on the way down and gave him a piece of pizza. He's like, no, I don't need any pizza. And I was like, dude, you're not looking so good. And he's like, I don't know what's wrong. And I said, just here, just take a pause, eat a piece of pizza. And he was tired. And I said, look, you know what? I'm just telling you, because it was getting dark. I said, the Avon post office, that you can catch a nap in there. I said, just sack out on the floor if you've got to. I said, I know it sounds weird, but I said, it's right on your right before you're leaving town. Maybe consider it. And he
Yeah.
said he slept for 4.5 hours there and got up and felt like magic again. So that may have been what he needed, was just a nap.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times that is like when you get to that point, it's either you need a nap or food. Eat and sleep, get them both, and you cover it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Lisa George's is, dude, she is just unreal, 'cause she doesn't run, but she has that walk that is just like, it's almost like a trot.
Yeah.
And she's just so efficient. It's unbelievable. And her son Noah may be the world's best pit crew ever in the history of mankind.
Oh, my hat's off to that kid. He is absolutely amazing.
The dude has, like, he knows what Lisa needs before Lisa knows what she needs,
Yes.
and is right on top of everything. Every race that I see them at, I'm just blown away by how efficient Noah is.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
the guy, he is absolutely amazing out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you and I were both, back of the Packers. Who is the surprise performance for you out of all the finishers this year?
Surprise performance. I'm gonna tell you on it like Thomas's speed this year, because last year he was 72 hours, so
Right.
he dropped just at 20 hours off his time. So I mean that was an absolute surprise. I think Scott Raddick, just based on what I saw him at Liberty going south, I felt like when I was chatting with him, he was looking for an excuse to drop. And every time I tried to push him away, he'd find a reason to stay there longer. And the fact that not only did he finish, but he finished, front mid-pack. He was number eight coming in.
Right.
I would say that was a big surprise. Because I thought he was done, and Josh and I both told him, he came across the line, dude, I thought you were done. Like, I didn't think you would. Another one might be Garrett.
Knudsen. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's
Had never
never
run anything more than a 50K.
ran hiking, but he's never done those. And I know you asked me for one, but I gotta give you a third one, man. Nick Yeats.
Yeah.
He holed up at the
The Hampton Inn.
that last comfort, and he holed up at, and then he did the math to figure out how he could be at Back Bay at the exact moment, 6:04 in the morning. How could I be at Back Bay at 6:04 in the morning and then finish? But as you know, like that late in the race, you've been on your feet that long.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost a 2 hour run. So if he's there at 6:04 and it takes him 2 hours, he's timed out, man. 8 o'clock,
Yeah.
we're done. But he did it. He got his rest that day. I mean, I think he took like a 12 hour break and was like,
Yeah.
this is what I have to leave. And then he was resting throughout Carava, Carova, Carava. He was,
Grover, yeah, sleeping on people's porches. That
horses
was
and doing
crazy.
whatever. He got to the point, and he sent me a picture, 6:04, I'm rolling, and he ran in. So I mean,
Yeah.
I'll tell you that for me, that last roughly 6 miles, give or take. I mean, that's hard to do in under 2 hours.
Yeah, it is.
And made
Yeah.
it. So that was amazing. David Solomon.
Yeah. I was going to say, was
I just
that
gave you
one of
four.
the
You have
most
four.
inspiring finishes you've seen?
David Solomon. His pictures are amazing. His medical issues that he has. He's got as many miles in that course as a lot of runners have.
Yep.
Out there doing Steven Dance. So I'm not saying he's a surprise. Like, he's not the surprise dude, but my hat's off to that kid.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the probably one time that there may have been something got in my eyes. Oh, look, Josh is here, so I'm going to admit him. Thank you for joining us there, Mr. Fosberg. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I forgot about daylight savings time for you guys. We don't have that here.
Yeah, well, rub it in some more.
Well, don't get
That's
used to
awesome. So let me just kind of introduce yourself for those who don't know Mr. Joshua Fosberg.
Yeah, I'm Josh Fosberg. I'm one of the race directors for Swami Shuffle, and I get to watch everybody else be miserable while I just drive around in a car.
Yeah, that's all you do is just drive around in the car, Josh. We know. And you've got like a big thing coming up here in 2025. What month is it?
So officially, I retire in September, but I expect to be leaving Hawaii in July and headed back to mainland.
Coming back to the mainland, gonna be a retired jarhead. Is it, can you, what do you call retired jarheads?
Jarheads.
Okay.
Jarheads. That's.
I thought maybe there was like an official name for a retired jarhead.
Nah, it's just the same.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, so here's the thing that I asked James. Who were some of your biggest surprises in this year's race?
Biggest surprises. I would say Justin did really well. He took off really fast, and I didn't see him, without somebody else already breaking the record this year. I think he would have been on pace to probably do that already. So I think that was a big one. And then John Price, obviously, on the other end of it, was probably the other big surprise for me, just
Right.
because he's Mr. Consistent. He knows exactly what he has to do, but he just had a really rough first day and had trouble getting it back after that. But
Well, that was kind of sad to see because yeah,
yeah.
I expected him. I mean, you always expect John to finish because he's just so stinkingly consistent. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't think it bothers him too much. I think he knows when something isn't going right and he's okay with it. But just from our perspective, it's just an expectation. Hey, John's a guy everybody has to freaking keep an eye on. As long as you're ahead of John, you're good, because he's gonna finish. But he's got his pace set for making it, 12
Right
hours
there at the
before.
skin of his teeth. So, who were some of your like your most inspirational, finishes that from this year?
Obviously, Thomas. I mean, that was inhuman what he did.
Well,
So,
and you
and
heard he thinks he can knock another 4 hours off of that, right?
right, which is insane. I'll tell you, me and James were talking about the first night, and as hard as he had gone out the gate, I totally expected the wheels to fall off on the second day. Just because that's what we normally see, people that go real
Right.
hard first day, the second day they'll do half of what they did the first day or something. And he just turned around and did it again. And I was like, this isn't right.
That was amazing. Because
Yeah, that's, I
did
mean,
he hit the lighthouse in right at 24, right?
yeah. So his first day check-in was at the lighthouse.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He's a And just, I mean, that was super inspirational, just for the fact of, how much of a he had done really good the previous year, but how much he improved from the previous year to this year was just something you can't foresee or expect,
Right.
that
Yeah,
huge of
20 hours off of your
a.
previous year's time.
Correct. Yeah, it's just, that's not something you can predict or project. At least I don't think. I think that's just he's inhuman.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So, what did you guys think of Tyler Drapeau's? I just thought it was one of the class moves, waiting on Lisa and Justin and then deciding, okay, rather than maybe, blitzing in, finishing second, which, he had held the entire race, but to hold up and then all three of them finished together. What do you guys think of that?
I loved it. I mean, I thought it was great to see that happen. We've seen a lot of weird things happen at the finish. We've seen people try to quit, when they're a mile from the finish line. We've seen people who got helped all the way, to that last mile, and then all of a sudden they take off and leave the person who gotten there behind.
Yeah, I felt that one.
Yeah, we've seen all kinds of stuff, but to see somebody just kind of put their race on hold and just come in as a group and show that camaraderie that the ultra running community is so well known for, I think that's what got me into the ultra running community in the first place, was seeing that and experiencing that my first time out. So I thought that was an inspirational thing, and I think it was just a reflection of what this community is all about.
Absolutely. Yeah, what do you think, James?
And it's okay, like Tyler was competing for the win for a long time.
Yes.
And that was, I want to win, I want to win, I want to win. And then the way his race worked out, but he got to that point, I have to stop. And the reality is, we wouldn't know if he did or didn't. But he stopped and sat for 4 hours at that line at back day, and then took off. And then they were there with him. For him to say at that point, like, he could have taken off left them.
Yep.
No shit, second place, to stay with them and then link arms at the end. Just, again, I think it was 2 months ago or 3 months ago, the Ultra Running Magazine, the article was, come for the competition, stay for the community.
Yeah.
And that just exemplified that. Like, this cat wanted to win it and went out trying to, but at the end of the day, it was like, screw it, man. I'm coming with my buddies. We're doing this together. Dude, it was amazing. It was heart-wrenching to watch it. It was awesome. It was great.
Yeah. Now, I told Justin that he has to share a lot of the victory, because Justin was having some serious chafing problems, and it was Tyler's Desitin that got him across the finish line.
Anderson, I think her name was, that ran with him. Dude, she put over 40 in that course.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm a conversation dude. Come out and do this late next year, lady. Like,
well, she was tremendous. And she was not holding him up at all when she was pacing him. Dude, she's fast.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Now, the party pack just really, really intrigued me this year, and the way it came together. Did you guys expect that at all?
No, I did not. I always took Mike Edwards to have his little crew of two or three people. I don't know if I call him an amazing runner. He's an amazing long distance person, and he's always super helpful, super jovial, and he'll take anybody under their wings and help. But to watch that crew come together, like, it was kind of in and out. Like, Richard was with them for a little bit, and Elizabeth would take off a little bit. But that little crew of them, the five, I think, of them, that was amazing to see. Yeah.
I really think kudos on that to Mike Edwards. He's just got something about him that makes people gel. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think half of the people that have run this race at this point found out about it from him. So he's telling everybody he knows and bringing everybody he can with him. So,
yeah.
The Mike thing. So there's two Mikes that probably bring 80% of our runners, and that's Mike Edwards and Mike Damn Horner.
Yeah.
I guess I was going to two of them. Like, it's a Mike race. Like, we might have to put that in parentheses sometime. Mike race.
That'd be cool.
Well,
I have to catch up to Mike, because I've only got two finishes now since I wasn't able to run it this year. So I'm really bummed.
And we just about got arrested to kind of try to figure out a buckle for him next year. So,
all right. That is a story. I definitely want to get in that one in just a second here, because that was a story. So for those who don't know, the party pack became Mike Edwards, Lisa McFadden.
Best
race director in all of the Carolinas, hands down. Lisa McFadden, Cape Fear 24 Hour. If you want to go out and have a fantastic time and stand a really good shot at doing 100 miles in sub 24, go do Lisa McFadden's Cape Fear 24. Good luck getting in. But right? Because that race fills up fast. So Lisa McFadden, Elizabeth Mohan, which to me, she was one of the inspirations this year, because she was so heartbroken last year when she had to drop, that for her to come back out. What did you guys think of that? She came back out. What a gutsy performance, huh?
Oh, yeah. And she, I mean, she's fun to watch too, because she's one of those people that every time you see her, she's just all smiles, everybody reacts differently as they're going through the race and they're going through their own turmoils. But every time you come up on her, she's like, oh, hey, you know, and she, even last year when she was struggling, didn't know if she was going to be able to keep going, she was still all smiles and just happy to be here kind of personality. So she's a fun one to watch along the race as well. But to see her come out here and just gut it out this year and really just push herself was a great time to see.
You know, another then, one kind of party pack was Kim Drake.
Yes.
Yeah.
When she started the race, she told Josh at the beginning, this is a test for me because I might need knee surgery. So I'm going to do this race. And if I make it, I don't need it. If I don't make it, I need it. Josh and I were like, dude, why are you even running? Like, go the fuck home. It had to drop early, but she got her knee surgery. And she came back this year and crushed it.
Absolutely crushed it. This was her second finish, right?
Yeah. Kim, yeah. I think she's run it. Yeah, because she's run it the same number of times as Dave Moore, I believe.
Yeah, right. She's finished it.
He's got two finishes and a drop.
Yeah, yep. So I think she shaved time off of her previous finish, if I remember right.
I think so. I don't have that number in front of me. I've got last year's and this year's, but I think she did.
Yeah. And Dave Moore. I mean, who saw that coming?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Serious, because when I saw him on Monday, I was like, oh man, Dave is really struggling. And so, you know, I had the van and he's like, dude, where can you meet me? I'd really like to sleep. And I was like, I got to head back because I got to go into the office first thing in the morning and I'll be back in the morning. And he's like, oh, I don't have any place to sleep. And this is, I saw him before he got to Jug Handle. So it was somewhere in Pea Island. And I was like, oh man, I hope somebody can take care of him. And I understand, was it Stephen Dents who found him at the Liberty Station?
But yeah, down there somewhere, Bodie area.
Yeah.
I got a room.
You know,
go take
said,
it.
Hey, we got a room. We got space at the KOA. Come sleep. And took a nap and banged it out, man.
Yeah. He has a tendency to do that. Like just sleep wherever he ends up for the day.
Yeah. So I really loved his finish. So Josh, what did you think of David Solomon?
Yes. Cause that's the other one. I think I meant to say earlier that was an inspirational finish. He was another guy who every time he saw him, he was just happy and he was out there having a good time. And for him to be battling all his muscular skeletal issues and still be out there tackling a race like this is insane. And he did. He stayed real consistent the whole time and just pushed his way through. He was running his own race, and I think that's the big thing is he knew what he needed to do and what he was capable of, and he stuck to it.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. I mean, you look at this year's race. What I mean, the weather was beautiful. Really great bunch of finishers. And, of course, you know, you're always disappointed. I don't know about you guys, but probably the one drop that just broke my heart was Ron.
Yeah.
I mean, because he gave it everything.
Every drop breaks my heart. But, yeah, I mean, he had the same issues this year he had last year, but he made it further.
Yeah.
138 miles this year. Made it back to Avon.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that was a tough drop. And then I'm trying to think. Who were the other? There were John, Ron, Steve Brockman, who I didn't know very well, but I mean, nice guy. Just got to 100 and said, I'm done.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Yep. And I think that gets to be mental, you know, I was trying to add up, you guys might know, how many people this year had never run that finished, had never run more than a 50K?
Let me Justin, Michelle, who, Garrett,
yeah,
Garrett,
Keith, God, Raddick.
If they have, as I want to say, probably only really one or two. We had a couple signed up that didn't show up that have never ran anything. But honestly, looking at my list I got in front of me, Nick Yeats has done it. Solomon has, Tidwell, Kim, Jeremy
Stephanie
Kirk.
has.
I think most of them.
Probably Scott and Garrett were the only two that have their furthest race before this was 50K.
Yeah, and Garrett is only walking. He had not run. His is
Yeah.
all backpacking, hiking.
And you know, it was
And
I his strategy was really impressive. He would take and you know, he had a solid group of crew and they just tended to him during the day. And then at night, they would give him his big pack and he would just trudge down the road with his big pack and you know, put it in hike mode. And he was amazing, amazingly consistent every single day. Yeah, this year, I mean, amazing finishes, 20 finishers. Did you guys ever think that you would have 20 finishers in this race?
I don't think we did because we had originally planned to keep it at 22 total, and so this year we expanded that just a little bit. So I never foresee us having 20 finishers because I never saw us having more than like 22 people start.
The reality is we had 21 finishers.
Oh, that's right.
We had 21, but no, we didn't. We've always been 22, 22, 22. And then this year when they came back with the permit, they said we have 30. We're like, screw it, throw in some more.
So let's talk a little bit about next year's race. So obviously, Back Bay is going to continue to play that strategy game, right?
Yep.
How did you think everybody handled that 2025? Did you think everybody did a really good job of handling that?
They did. As best we can tell, everybody did. Everybody honored it. A lot of folks I know for a fact stayed at hotels because of that. Yeah, I feel like they did. And Josh and I were talking to the hotel room one night. I almost kind of like it. It adds an extra wrinkle to the run. So you got to figure things out, plan, think a little bit. And I guess the selfish side is that we don't have to worry about being out there at midnight wondering if our runner will be in by 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right,
We get a little
standing
sleep.
out at the finish line.
Which I don't mind doing that. It's great as to do it, but it's almost nice. But again, it's just that wrinkle piece. And as we look at other races, like Tar Heel, the Tar Heel 24, you had to worry about the ferries. Can you make it in time? Because if you don't, then you're waiting until the next ferry. And it, so it just that extra added thing to it. I don't know. We'll see.
So, Josh, do you think, same rules will apply for next year? I mean, are you guys, do you already have a permit for next year or do you have to apply again?
So we technically have to resubmit it every year, but at this point, there's enough people involved. It seems like it's a given that we have that. I mean, there's some people in Congress and stuff got involved when this first came out to make sure that we could do it every year. So I'm not too concerned about that. But as far as I can tell, for the foreseeable future, that'll be the expectation is that 30 minutes after sunset and 30 minutes before sunrise, we can't get on the beach in the refuge. So.
You know, it would be great if they would just tell us what time that is. Wouldn't that
Yeah.
be awesome? Can we talk them into that? Can we say you can't be on from 6:15 p.m. to 5:45 a.m.?
Well, that I think is more on me personally. Because they just say 30 minutes before, 30 minutes after. And that's like, I think the briefing in the morning, we said, okay, today is this time. So we can get that out to the runners. I think Nick Yeats, when we talked, or yeah, Nick Yeats, when we talked to him the last day, it was like 6:04, you can enter.
Yeah, that
But
would I think yeah, like that last day as you're kind of making that decision, I think knowing what that time is rather than trying to figure out 30 minutes before sunrise and what time is sunrise, and yeah, because you're already brain dead anyway because you sign
yeah.
up for the thing, and so then you run 100 and 80 90 miles and then you got to do more math and that's really hard, guys.
That's Josh's specialty is doing math in public.
Yeah, unless you're Nick Yeats, and then he did all kinds of math.
I loved his whiteboard drawing. Where did he find the whiteboard, by the way?
I have no idea. Don't know, but dude,
we have to share that because that was amazing.
Yeah, that will definitely be one of the pictures that we'll use. You guys will have to send that to me so that I
Yeah,
can use that to promote in case people are trying to figure out how to devise a strategy.
if they can sort out what that all means, more power to them.
All right, so this is 2026. What are the expectations?
Yeah, I think main thing is we're gonna do the 30 again. I don't think we'll ever go above that. At least we have no plans to. We think once it gets above that, you start to lose the closeness. You know, we don't want this to be a huge thing where you're running with a bunch of people and you don't know any of them. I think the camaraderie that's built in this race by the closeness of the runners and the runner's health helps with that too. But the small number, I think, allows it to be a more familial type atmosphere. So I don't think we'll see us go above that 30. But that'll be the main thing. And then the other one, obviously, the refuge stuff, which we'll make sure all that's in the sign up again. And then I don't know, there's several people saying they're going to come out and try to beat the record again. It's been broken almost every year, so
I
we'll
was going to
see if.
say it keeps on being lowered. How many people do you think will, I mean, do you think we'll have some elites that target this thing?
I don't know. I mean, I think that was pretty elite this year. So,
No kidding. Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's getting more important, more popular. It's interesting, you know, just start hearing people talk about, oh yeah, well, what about the Swami? What about the Swami? And you know, you're overhearing people talk about it at you know some of the bigger races and comparing it to some of the other races. And so that's cool for us, you know, to hear people talking about it. I was like, oh, this is just some random thing that we started doing and trying to raise some money for veterans, you know, and now it's something that people are talking about. So,
So on sign up night or day or whatever time it will be when it goes live on Ultra Sign Up, will it be for 30 people?
yes.
Okay, awesome. So let's kind of talk about the cause here a little bit because I think that's one of the things that all the runners, and it was fun for me this year because I actually got to, you know, spend time, a little bit of time with all the runners, you know, out on the course and talking. And I think the thing that every single runner has talked about is the cause and how that is the one thing that helps them to refocus when they're in that pain cave. So, you know, tell us about the cause. What is Swami all about? I know we've talked about it before, but tell us, what is Swami all about and why do we do this crazy thing?
Yeah, so Swami was Josh's idea because he served with Dustin, nicknamed Swami. He took his life in on 28 February 2020. So we started 2021 to redeem the day for him. You know, it too often when somebody does that, we allow that to cripple us. So you know, Josh's like, hey, let's redeem the day for him. Let's make this worthwhile. Let's do something for others that can help him. So he's like, hey, let's do this. And we're like, hey, yeah, we'll go. You know, so it's an honor of him, obviously. And his daddy's been out there every year
Every year.
that we've done it to help honor the veterans and to give back to them. And I always go back to the numbers. And, you know, I just did the research again this week. And depending on what you look at, you're looking at 17 to 22. We go with the number 22 because that's what it's been. The number can be 17 to 22 veterans that are taking their life based on the PTSD. That turns out to be 8,000-ish a year. But when you look at that number, 8,000 a year that commit suicide, that's more veterans commit suicide than died in combat operations during the entire Iraqi and Afghanistan war, which covered in the neighborhood of 20 years combined. So 03 to 11, 01 to 14, that was 7,000. 7,000 combat service members, about 7,000 died. We lose 8,000 a year to suicide. Vietnam War was 20 years. We lost about 50,000 combat deaths during Vietnam, 20 years. Veteran suicide over the course of 20 years, when you go roughly 22 a day, you talk 150,000
Wow.
committing suicide. So I talk about that, like put numbers in context. Numbers mean something, but until you have context, it doesn't matter. We'd lose more per year to suicide than we lost during the entire Iraq and Afghanistan campaigns combined. And we lose more than we lost over the course of Vietnam. It's insane. And that's where, when Josh and I were talking, the thing we want to do is, you don't necessarily need counseling, quote unquote. It's veterans getting together and doing things, creating that brotherhood, doing the things that keep you active instead of sitting at home and thinking about it. So that's what we're trying to do
Yeah.
is, as awareness and action, we don't provide goods and services, but we support the organizations that do provide them that need to help. And we like to do it at the grassroots, like, this veteran can't buy a gym membership, we got your gym membership. You want to do jujitsu, you can't afford it, we got you. You want to do this, the little things that can keep them active, keep their minds going, and maybe meet other service members that they can share stuff with.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you're getting ready to retire and you've been in combat. So, what's the one thing that you think, being able to raise funds for, veteran suicide awareness and being able to pay for their gym memberships and everything? Is it the camaraderie that, like, when you step out of the military, that kind of goes away? What is it, Josh?
So everybody I talk to, and it's something that lots of people are hitting me up about now as I'm about to get, hey, just get ready for this different, be prepared for this. And the one unifying theme is that when you get out of the military, there's immediate feeling of isolation, and you're you go from a no matter how hard or how bad the scenarios are while you're in the military, you're surrounded by lots of other people that are going through the same things. So there's something to be said for like shared suffering or shared trauma. But once you leave, you can be surrounded by people who love you and that helps. But if they don't understand, it's hard to make the connection. And just by nature, the typical people that go into the military, and even while you're in the military, there's a stigma about getting help and asking for help. And so that's not something a lot of people are comfortable doing. So people tend to get out and feel isolated and feel alone. And then on top of that, they feel like they have to handle everything on their own and suck it up and deal with it. Which at some point for so many, that's where they become overwhelmed. And that's where they start trying to figure out what they can do. And for many, it's to take their own life is the solution that they see best, whether it's to make things easier for them or to make, a lot of times it's tumultuous relationships that they have, and they feel like the people around them would be better off if they weren't around. And it's that's never the case. Nobody else outside of that situation feels like that, but for the individual, when they're overwhelmed and feeling isolated, it's hard to see clearly. It's easy for us at a 10,000 foot view to look at the field. It's like fans in a football stadium. They're like, "Why didn't you throw it here? That guy was open." And he's like, "Well,
Right.
he's got 11, 6 to 7 foot guys that weigh 300 pounds in his face. You can't see everything as clearly as you can from the outside." So that individual, he's buried under everything, and he can't see the clear path that maybe the rest of us might see for them. So.
Yeah, I use a, scenario from a movie. You guys have seen the Three Rings movies, right? The Hobbits.
Yeah.
In the last movie, so all these hobbits come back to the Shire and they go to the pub and they're all sitting there. So all the hobbits who have been through all the orcs and the battles and just, seen things that would just make your head swim. And so the hobbits that have been on this adventure, they're sitting at the table and they've got each other. And they're surrounded by other hobbits. So they're surrounded by their families, by their friends, by their, relatives. And nobody gets what these guys have been through, and they can't be, they'll never be able to get it. And I liken that to what a lot of our veterans are facing, and what you're going to face here, in a couple of months, Josh, is you're going to go back, and you're going to go, on that same bike ride with, some of your old friends, and they're going to be like, dude, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you your bubbly self? And they don't realize that you've just separated from the thing that made you feel alive. And so I think the reason that I've told people the one race that if I can do one race a year for the rest of my life, it'll be Swami Shuffle 200 until I can't make those miles anymore. Because I believe in the cause that we're doing to raise money to get these veterans into the gyms and into community so that they can feel alive and not feel like they're out there just battling alone through all the trauma and all the things that they've been through, that there's people that'll surround them and not give them excuses. They'll be like the Jameses and, call you a wuss because you got the flu and you can't run the race. Right, James?
Absolutely. Lace it up. Let's go.
That's
Dude,
right.
it made a heart flutter saying that. Like I love hearing that. Like the way you stated that, that makes my heart flutter, dude. Like, and that's I think that's why Josh and I do it.
And you know what? I mean, you are making a difference. And I really thank you guys for putting this race on because, Jenny will tell you that this is absolutely the thing I look forward to all year long. It's the cause. And if we can just have one more veteran decide to live, decide that, oh, you know what, it is worth it to live a full life. And I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get to that point. Let's do one more thing here. And how'd we do with fundraising this year?
I was just going to say that before you ask that last question you always ask, I would tell you we did 12,000 on fundraising this year. Three of that was during race week,
Wow.
so we did pretty good. I think that's our biggest. I'd have to go back and look, but I think that's our biggest year yet. I know I keep telling you, Mike, every time I talk to you, my goal is a million. You know, if we do $1, you give me one person, two person, yeah. But you know, we did 12 grand this year. That which ain't bad. That's going to
It's not
go
bad at all.
a long ways to helping our veterans.
All right. So you guys know how we like to land, every podcast here. So Josh, you get to go first. Living an ultra life, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
For me, it's the community. I'll just go back to what really made it all stick for me. James invited me to go to Cape Fear 24-hour. I had never run more than a half marathon, and we showed up at Cape Fear 24-hour the first year that Lisa did it. And I was having a real hard time, so I didn't know anything about like pacing yourself. I ran until I couldn't, and then I walked until I couldn't. And Joe Feegis is like, everybody's going, oh yeah, that guy's got like the 6 day race record for every age group, and he's out there like running around the track, lapping me like 3 or 4 times every time I do one. And so he's, the elite guy out there, and he just rolls up next to me and he's like, hey man, how you doing? He takes his headphones off and he walks with me for a lap and talks to me about what's going on. And I explained to him like, oh yeah, it's just, my knee's all messed up, I don't know what's going on, so I'm just walking. And he's like, okay, well, what's going on? I explain, it's, right here is where it hurts, this and that. He's like, well, there's good news and bad news. I said, okay. He said, the good news is, you're okay. It's your IT band. It's in, it's just irritated, and it's gonna hurt a lot. And I was like, okay, what's the bad news? And he's like, you can keep going. So we, but he stopped and he took his time to just, he's the guy out here winning. I think he was at like a, when he hit 100 miles in that race, I think he was at like 14 or 15 hours, and then he paced his wife to her 100, and he ended with like 120 something miles or something like that. But for me, that's not the only person, but just that's an example. The guy who was winning took some time out of his race to stop and help the guy who is his first time ever doing anything. And for me, that's what this community has continued to show me year after year, is very few places in the world are the elite athletes commingling with like the beginners and interacting on a level like that. Yeah. And so that's what drew it to me. And that, so living Ultra Life, that's what it is. It's being a family, a community, and supporting each other.
Absolutely. James.
Yeah, that, man, I can't top that, dude. That's the best.
That
no,
is beautiful.
Ultra Life is, I mean, we all want to be our best. And, you know, as I work with folks or talk to my clients, it's like when we're setting goals, you want to make that goal unreachable. You want to make that goal when you look in the mirror and talk to yourself about it. It makes you want to puke in your stomach. You're like, I don't want this. So when I'm looking at living an ultra life, man, it's like being the best you can be, pushing yourself to those points and surrounding yourself by the folks that will help you do that. So when, you know, when I look at living an ultra life, ultra, it has many different meanings, but at the end of the day, ultra is the best. What do I do daily to be the best I can be? And a lot of it's putting myself around people like yourself, putting myself around people like Josh, around Thomas, around Lisa, around Tyler, around Justin, so that I can be that dude. Because when I set my goals, I don't look at my goal as being here to spend time with my daughter or her daughter. It's my great, great granddaughter.
Yeah.
You know, so lead that ultra life, living the ultra life. How do you prepare yourself to do all that stuff? And who do you surround yourself around to do it?
Absolutely. Well, guys, as usual, it is such an absolute honor to be associated with your race and to be able to do it. I thank you guys for creating this race, for continuing to do the hard work of putting on this race. It is very, very much appreciated. And I'm sure I say that for every single Swami Shuffler that has towed the line and made a go of this thing.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.